Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This guy knows what he's doing, man. Let's bring him on. What's up, John? How's it going, man?
Man, Bashar, it's absolute pleasure to be with you. And, man, that intro, I ain't going to lie, man. I'm pumped up, ready to go. I don't know to fight somebody. I don't know to cheer. I'm feeling it, though, man. It's been a crazy day and excited to break some of this down.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, but that song is all about the hype, you know? I'm just like, yeah. I sat on my computer for 2 hours with that beat pumping in my head. What do I say next to pump up our Niner fans out there? Let me just say whatever and hope it sounds good. And that's kind of how it took place. Yeah, so shout out to Kali, says Bashar and John Chapman. Hey, it happened, man. I've been waiting for a long, long time. I've been doing the work, just, you know, trying to get better and better each and every day. And, you know, from that point on, I kind of built some confidence. But, hey, let me tell John, hey, man, you might want to come on my show one day, right? Let's make it happen, you know?
Dude, glad to be here, man. Glad to be here.
So, John, tell me this really quick about where you grew up and your whole life of becoming a football fan. How did it happen? Do you remember how you became a 49er fan?
Oh, yeah. I remember it vividly. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. And so, like, football is a way of life there, obviously. Played from as early as I can remember. But I had a stepdad that I didn't like too much. He was a diehard Cowboys fan. So just despite him, at 9 years old, I remember it vividly, I asked him for a Jerry Rice jersey for my 10th birthday. He declined. He would not buy it. I threw a fit to my mom, and so she kind of forced him to buy. I was a manipulative kid, as I am now. And so he bought me this jersey, and that's where it all started. I would wear it all the time. It'd bother him, especially football Sundays. We would argue like cats and dogs, and I still have that jersey to this day. But that is where it all started, and here we are. I don't want to say how many years later. It's a lot. And
hey, you got those boyish looks with those rosy cheeks, you know.
That's right, baby. That's right.
So, hey, it's all good. That's a great story, man. Yeah, wish my story was as fun as that. But my brother, God rest his soul, he led me along the way as kids because my parents weren't really in tune with what football was at the time, you know. We kind of got them into it later, but awesome story, man. And we have somebody. Oh, this is Beto from Niner Sickness. He's saying, "Don't mention Deebo Samuel, please." it's gonna happen. You know what's gonna happen. Man. So you grew up in Texas, and you wanted to spite your stepfather, and you had that Jerry Rice jersey. Do you remember the first Niner game you attended? And did you ever get to go to Levi's and Candlestick back in the day? Or
I did not get to go to Candlestick. Probably one of my biggest regrets in life. You know, I grew up in Dallas and went to college in Oklahoma, which was a big regret as well. Then grad school in Kansas City. Then I went back down to Dallas and started my coaching career. That was kind of what my plan was, to be a high school football coach. Did that for a very long time at one of the largest schools in the country, which was awesome. It was incredible. But then what happened is we kind of took a turn. The family and I, we became foster adoptive parents, which was a great journey. But realized very soon, I went from having a bed in my coaching office, and I would sleep there 2 to 3 times a week during the season because I wouldn't go home, you know, working 90 hours a week. That's what Texas high school football is, unfortunately, which is sad, to having 2 kids at home that really needed a lot more attention than I was willing to give them. So I had to say goodbye to coaching, spent more time at home with the kiddos and the fam. And I was like, hey, I got all this football stuff. I still want to keep talking. And that's where the podcast kind of came out. And that was, we're going on just over 6 years now.
It's
been a minute.
I first heard of you possibly, my friend Kenny's in the chat. My friend Kenny would always mention you. And I'm not sure if I knew who you were before he mentioned you, but right around that same time, he was always pumping you up. And I just remember checking you out back then. But this is we're saying 2018. Prior to 2018, I just don't remember you. Maybe I missed out, but
I was doing a great job. Potatoes, man. For a while, man, mm-hmm. before the channel kind of took off. And so since then, it's been kind of a whirlwind. And now, you know, I'm no longer teaching. This is my last year teaching, going full time, just podcasting and putting content out there and trying to build the community. That's one of the things I'm big on, building the community, relationships through meetups and just, you know, whether it's Zoom hangouts or if it's actual physical meetups at all these away games and the NFL draft and things like that.
That is awesome if that you're going to be going full time at this. That is unheard of for a lot of people, but congratulations to you. That's it. Hey, man, you grinded, man. I mean, I didn't know who you were prior to that. You said you 6 years. I knew about you a few years back. Yeah. So for all those people starting out with the podcasting, you know, look where I'm at. I'm not booming. I don't have 1,000 subscribers yet, but I got passion. I got love for this. And if you got passion, you got love for the game or whatever it is you may want to go on YouTube for, hey, go ahead and do it, man. You never know. Just as long as you love it, something big may come out. On case in point, John Chapman right here, our guest. Yeah, so that's cool, man. That's pretty awesome. Do you remember your first experiences as far as meeting 49er players? Because I know you've met plenty, and you probably have an amazing story to go with meeting a 49er player. Because I've seen your pictures, man.
Man, I've been really, really lucky recently. I can tell you, like, I remember Ricky Running Waters probably most vividly as one of the first players, and I didn't even meet him. You know, I went to the game early to watch players warm up, and I was just sitting down on the side and, you know, watching them warm up. That was incredible. I loved that dude. And so just watching him warm up, you know, usually younger kids, they kind of drive towards the running back position just because it was a star position. He was killing it at that time. That was awesome. But probably my best or favorite moment thus far was doing shots with Frank Gore, hanging out before the Super Bowl in Miami. That was a Mount Rushmore
type. That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like, I'm not going to get into detail of that. I can just already imagine how awesome and how fun. I got to have a shot with you one day, by the way.
Ask me twice.
Go ahead and do this. Plug it right now, and we can plug it before we do our mock draft. Plug your little thing that you're doing with the draft. I unfortunately won't be able to make it, but I know you're doing a lot of big things, and I got to check you out one of these days, man.
Yeah, if you want to hang out with 49ers, actual 49ers, we have rented out a club in Las Vegas on the Strip at the Mandalay Bay, and we have not one but two. Fred Warner and Elijah Mitchell are coming out. It is a small, you know, very, very intimate party with nothing but Niners fans, exclusive party, open bar, food covered. We're going to be live day one and day two of the draft. We got tickets still available. So if you want to meet and greet and hang out with these guys, 49ers, we've got lots of content creators there broadcasting live the entire time. Head to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We're going to have them live on air. We're going to be interviewing them during the draft. And now with the Debo stuff, I said the word that shouldn't be said. Days one might be a little bit more entertaining than we thought.
I went on the mock draft website today, and I was just like, you know what? I gotta brush up on these damn first round wide receivers. What's wrong with me, man? I gotta look stupid going into today's show. So we'll get into that part later. Hey, for those who haven't forgot what he said about the whole website that he has, go to the description box of this video. I did put it on there as well. The 49ers Rush. You know, thing that they do when they go, they do meetups at games and everything. And I swear, one of these times, I'm gonna have to meet up with you
there, man. We're gonna get you there. Yeah,
I gotta meet you, man. Meet you and everybody else, especially because you got other content creators that I've been talking to, and just other people through the chats too. Not just the content creators. We're all just one big family, you know.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Yeah, this guy does a whole lot. This guy does a whole lot outside of the whole YouTube thing, man. Just meeting up at the games and tailgates, and if you ever checked out his social media and saw how many people met up with each other and partied. It was just,
we've been pretty lucky, man. We've been pretty lucky with what we put together. So, and that's what it's about. Like, I used to be, if I wanted to go to a Niners game, I would have to fly from Texas to California or wherever they're playing. And I would a lot of times just go by myself because my family's got their job and their stuff, whatever else. And so, like, it was just me. And so I wanted to create a space where there were people that are just, you know, single dudes or single ladies, or if they want to bring their family, that's cool too. We're going to build a community. So you're not traveling and going to games by yourself. We're going together. We're experiencing this together. And that's kind of what we put together.
Yes, sir. So let me say what's up to this guy in the chat, Brandon Ferrigno. He says, what's up, Bashar and John Chapman from the Forever Faithful podcast. Been on there a few times. Really good dudes. Him and Christian over there, Forever Faithful podcast. Check them out. Subscribe to them. And yeah, man, a lot of awesome content creators. And it's cool. Our fans are so much fun to hang out with. There's some crazy stuff being said in the chat. I'm trying to ignore it because I'm trying to stay on course with my questions. But let me get into this, Richard. Since you're doing everything full time now with the whole 49ers Rush podcast, what made you wake up one day? And I know you said something about how you had to stop, you know, being more committed to coaching. But what told you to do a podcast? Was there anything that you remember happening along the way?
Yeah, it just, like, when so much of your life has been given to this sport, whether through coaching or playing, like, it's I just wanted to create and educate. And I had a couple buddies. Shout out to Charles Barr. He's probably not watching this. He's the Eagles guy. But he was like, man, let's just jump on and talk football. Let's see what that is like. Because we would talk on the phone all the time about draft prospects and things along those lines. And it was just like, yeah, why not? Let's record it. Let's see if anybody wants to listen. Let's see if it works out. And thankfully, you know, that has kind of grown into organically something that's doing really, really well. And so, you know, we're growing. We're still trying to figure things out. I think we're pretty far from where we're supposed to be, but that's okay. You know, we're just kind of striving for improvement, not perfection, and just constantly working towards that and allowing people to talk, right? People tell you, hey, it'd be cool if somebody could do this. All right, cool. Let's create that. And that's kind of what we try to do.
Man, you said something about an Eagles fan. I could have sworn. I don't know if it was you, but maybe I got it wrong, but I swear I saw a live podcast with you during the draft sitting on the other half of the screen with some Eagles fan drinking. I forgot all about that. That's going way back, man.
That's right.
That guy was cool. I like that. Charles. That guy was cool, man. He was funny. He made it interesting. I liked him. Yeah, he was awesome. Dude. Okay. But so before we get to the heavy football talk, I always throw a wrench into the conversation. So I'm a big pizza guy. I got a pizza oven in my backyard. And I've been making pizza, been watching all kinds of hundreds of videos on how to make New York pizza. So a lot of my pizza comes up about better than the local restaurants from time to time. But how about you, though? If you had a choice to go to the best New York style pizza restaurant or the best Chicago style deep dish restaurant, what would be your choice?
It's not even close. It's not even close. My claim to fame, okay? Partying with Frank Gore was incredible. We threw a meetup party in Chicago. I'm the biggest Chicago pizza guy there is.
I know where you're going with this.
We got together at Luminati's, which is incredible. And sure enough, you know, I posted hanging out at Luminati's with some Niners fans, whatever else. And Luminati's followed me. I don't care. Like, awesome. 49ers players are great. That is one of my claims to fame still to this day. Luminati's Pizza Chicago. Giordano's the second. That's incredible as well. But, yeah, man, Chicago pizza. I'll go down swinging on that one, man. I like New York style pizza.
I brought the right guy on the show, man. If you only heard the pizza conversations that we've had on here. One of these days I'll tag you with some of my pizza videos and pictures. Go. They're on my Instagram. I'll show you one day. Maybe after the show later I'll tag you. But, yeah, I remember they had meetups at Giordano's. Luminati's is like so famous. Ooh. And, you know, you just have to make sure if you have that Chicago style pizza, you know, you just got to make sure you probably don't eat breakfast for the day. Maybe might want to skip on lunch, you know, because you literally talk about slices that are this thick from time to time.
Oh, it's beautiful, man. Yeah, it's a work of art. One year for my birthday, I had them flown down Chicago.
Oh, you did? Did they come out good when you had them shipped over?
Yeah, they weren't near as good, but they were still delicious. I would know. It's no complaint.
All right. So I think it's time to do this now. We have to address the elephant in the room. Debo Samuel is all I have to say. First thing that comes to mind when I say Debo Samuel.
It's not going great. And, you know, at first it was a lot of smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire. And it was the brother, and then it was rumors and all that stuff. No. Word of mouth from several reputable reporters, Tom Pelissero being among them. Debo requested a trade 2 weeks ago.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock. And the 49ers knew that. All that's been out there. And Debo even came out today and tweeted, oh, if it don't come from me, the 49ers, my agent, then you don't have to worry about it. Then he deleted it right afterwards. It's out there. Debo wants to trade. Why does he want to trade? A lot of people are saying it's about money. I don't think it's about money as much as others do. He is saying he don't want to play running back anymore. He wants to be a true wide receiver and kind of prolong his career. We're in weird times right now, Bashar. It's a weird time right now.
It's a very weird. It's like, can a 49er fan, I mean, not that we won the Super Bowl or anything, but hey, we had a, in my opinion, we had a successful season. Some
very much so.
Otherwise, but like, you know, you want to say, hey, we have a lot to look forward to. Hey, you know, everything, all the hands are pretty much pointing towards Trey Lance as a quarterback. We don't have to worry about this whole Jimmy thing too much. As you know, I know it's still a gray area about that, but you think, hey, we could build on this team. Like you say, make Trey comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Having Debo on the squad definitely would help make him a whole lot more comfortable than not having him. And it's just not, it's just, there's always this during the season, the games, there's drama. You feel like you got to take 20 painkillers, watch the games or drink or smoke, whatever. And it's like, now in the off season, this is like, I probably got skinned like a damn crocodile or alligator right now after being a Niner fan. I don't know what to think anymore. Like, I don't know. Like, supposedly Debo wasn't happy with being used as a running back, but then I saw him in that Dallas game mic'd up. He's like, give me the ball. And next thing you know, he's running to the end zone. So I don't even know what to think anymore.
I think it's okay to play both of these sides for Debo, because again, as an athlete or a coach, whatever, you're a warrior first. So when you're in that moment, you're going to do whatever the hell it takes necessary to win. And that's who Debo's always been. He doesn't go out of bounds. He fights for every yard. He runs through people, not around them. That's the mentality that has made Debo Debo. That's how he got his name. Now, here we are in the offseason. He's looking down the barrel of all these other guys getting paid, whether it's Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams. And he's saying, man, running backs aren't getting anything. So if I want to get that long-term generational wealth, I got to start making more decisions. Now, I think that Debo's still going to play in the backfield for, even if the 49ers trade him, which I still don't think that they're going to. But even if they do trade him, a team that acquires Debo is going to have to pay up big. You mean to tell me that team's going to be fine with Debo not getting carries in the backfield and jet sweeps? I don't think so. That's part of his value that makes him so unique than other wide receivers. So he deserves to be paid. He deserves to be paid towards the highest limit of whatever's out there. But if you take away kind of one of the things he's best at, that might be problematic.
I totally agree. And it's like, okay, you know, I keep in mind, towards the end of the season, the last game, I didn't like it when we kept running Debo up the middle at times, in the middle of the teeth of the defense. I love him on the outside and those jet sweeps, you know, and the outside zone runs, which is fine and dandy. Every now and then he can get a little nice inside run, but I wanted us to keep the Debo as fresh as possible. Don't get why Kyle Shanahan doesn't alternate running backs like he should. That was a big question mark of mine during the season. And I'm thinking like, hey, if Trey Lance is in the mix, we can use Debo more so like a real wide receiver would be used. You know, you would think that, because, you know, Trey pushes the ball down the field. But, you know, this totally opens up doors for what the draft is going to look like. And we're going to do a mock draft pretty soon. And
it's going to be crazy. Wild. These next 8 days, Bashar, are going to be, you can't predict anything. You remember when Jimmy G was the controversial topic? Now throw that out the window. That's small potatoes,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Debo is the face. Debo is the offense. We don't make it to the playoffs last year without Debo, let alone win against Dallas, which he had the play of the game. Then you could look at the Packers game, right? Which we won. He was returning kickoffs. Offense couldn't do anything. He was the only person doing any single thing positively. Offensively, the guy he's done it all. He deserves to get paid. And I understand fans want to go 100% against whoever asks for more. I get that. Oh, it's about the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey. They're right. But this is a grown man's business. And fans don't usually throw up their arms whenever the 49ers, or any team for that matter, releases player before the contract. It's not about, I mean, you know what I mean? It works both ways. So Cooler head should prevail. I do believe Debo will sign and stay with the 49ers because the 49ers have all the leverage. He can do all these whatever. That's fine. But it's in his best term interest to sign with the 49ers. It's in the 49ers' best interest to sign Debo. I think eventually this will work out because, again, it's not like the DeForest Buckner situation because they're not allowing the agent to pursue a trade. They did with DeForest Buckner. He went out and worked his own trade with the Colts and contract before the trade was announced. As of now, they are not allowing the agent of Debo to talk to any other teams.
That's good that you threw that out there. A lot of people haven't said that. I've been watching so many podcasts about this, right? And you're the first person I heard here brought that up. And that, in general, I kind of thought because of the new CBA rules and the way CBA is set up now, that the 49ers, you know, have more leverage with way this whole more. Debo, yeah, with this whole Debo thing. And I never want to see Debo traded. I've been tweeting this, been telling people, but if push comes to shove and they have no choice in the matter, but I don't think they do. I think, you know, like you said, we have the leverage. I don't want a Kings ransom though. I don't want no itty bitty stupid trade that we did with Defoe or anything like that. There is a question in the chat that I want to address really, really quick. I'm not going to really be taking too much questions because we kind of have a set schedule today, but we do have this from Kenny. Where is he? Oh, he said something right here, which is pretty cool.
Oh, I love it, Kenny. Thank you, podcast. Man.
And then, but he had a question. I didn't put up the question. Kenny's awesome. He's a great dude. Here we go. Kenny says, releasing Jimmy G would free up some cap space. Why do you think they are holding on to Jimmy and draft picks for Debo?
Yeah, so. Great question, Kenny. So here's the issue. Yes, if Jimmy did get released, which I don't think they will do, you would save about $25 million cap space. But here's the issue. If you look at the contract, you can release Jimmy now or all the way up to the initial 53-man roster right before week one. You don't save a penny more or a penny less. So there's no need to act harshly. You're going to get that cap space if you wanted to release him. Now, the issue is I don't think Kyle will. I think Kyle would rather keep him as the quarterback two this year then just release him outright. And I think the draft trade, I still do think Jimmy gets dealt draft day. I don't think the Panthers go quarterback with their first round pick. They don't have a second round pick. They don't have a third round pick. I think eventually that trade will take place, but not as confident as it used to be. But I do think that he will get dealt. And anytime he gets traded, the 49ers will have to eat some of that cap space just through negotiations. I think they'll probably end up keeping about 7 to 10 million of that. But yeah, if you are going to release Jimmy, no reason to do it now. Why not just keep his rights, hold on to him, and then if an injury or something does happen, God forbid, then you could trade him. You have those rights. Zero added benefit for the 49ers to release him right now.
Okay, we're going to get into the mock draft pretty soon, but we'll stay on this topic really quick because we have an interesting comment that popped up on the screen. That week in and week out, I have my lone Jimmy supporter pop up during my streams.
I love Jimmy.
So this guy pops up and says, Prius Game says, this guy is wrong. We don't make the playoffs without Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy was a part of that. Yeah, he probably had some of his best games down the stretch of the regular season. There's no doubt about that. I love Jimmy. I'm so thankful for what Jimmy Garoppolo has done for this franchise. And we should look back on Jimmy in a very favorable way. But the 49ers have spoken in the fact that they didn't see Jimmy as the quarterback of the future. They love Jimmy, but the injuries were a concern, which reared their ugly head again this year. And now the surgery for sure. I love Jimmy. I'm so thankful for Jimmy. But it is time to move on because of what they spent on Trey. And that's not a negative. I hope Jimmy gets dealt to a place where he can start. And I hope that he does very, very well. Jimmy, I'm a big Jimmy guy. I've got Jimmy jerseys. My son's got Jimmy jerseys. Like, I love the dude. However, it is time to move forward. And I think with the moves that the front office made, they have reciprocated that. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so you heard it from John. There he goes. So let's get started with this mock draft because I don't think we have time to do two, but if we do have time, I'm good at knocking them out quick. If we do have time to do two, we might do one with Debo, assuming Debo's being traded, but I don't think he's going to be traded. And you feel that way too. So let me go ahead and share my screen. It's a wild day, guys. It's a wild day. You know, so let me go ahead and share my tab and get this PFF mock draft going. And our GM is going to be none other than John Chapman from the 49er Rush podcast. And so this is, how about we do this draft without trades? Would you be okay with that?
Sure. Let's do it, man.
Okay. This draft is assuming everything's fine and dandy. Debo Samuel, you know, they buttered him up and he's happy go lucky and we're good to go. So we're going to do the fast version, 7 rounds, and we're the 49ers. Obviously, let's go.
I love it, man. I'm excited. I'm excited too.
So we're going to skip these trades and we're going to do start draft. Here we go.
And, you know, I'll say this too, whenever you're doing these mock drafts and you're not doing trades up and down and all those things, what it don't pay so much attention to the players that we're going to select, even though they're important. Pay attention to the positional players that are available and the targets that we're looking at in each round of this draft.
Excellent way of putting it. So let me zoom in on my screen just a little bit. So with the 61st pick, I see first guy I see Brian Asamoah from linebacker from Oklahoma, that is.
Ooh, after that, I see players I like there.
Troy Anderson, UZC Kingsley, and Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah.
I see Nick Cross at safety from Maryland.
Yeah, it's a little too early for Nick Cross for me. I do like him a lot. He's a good fit. Troy Anderson, linebacker. I don't want to draft a linebacker this early, but the 49ers did have an official meeting with him. I think that's key. Can we see which wide receivers are available? And this is even if we're keeping Deebo Samuel, I still believe wide receiver is a very heavy, influential position that they can pick. Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama.
John Metchie.
I like Jalen Tolbert a lot. Yeah, Calvin I'm Austin. Not really seeing anybody there that jumps off the screen too much. I do like Alec Pierce for Cincinnati, who I saw peep his head down there. They rank him a little lower, but I like him a lot. Man, there's some good spots here, man. What about interior offensive linemen? Can we look at centers or guards? Because, again, we're not sure. This is another question mark. We're not sure Alex Mack is coming.
Exactly, we're not.
We are not sure Alex Mack is coming. So, like, that's another thing that, you know, could be. Oh, Dylan Parham. He is really, really high on my board. I have him number 40 overall. But I do like Donovan West. Not at this 61 spot, though. Cam Jurgens, Cole Strange. There are some targets there. There really are some targets there. Let's go back. One more thing I want to look at before we make a decision. Let's go to the what's it called? Cornerback position. I want to see those corners.
Corners. We have Marcus Jones.
Ooh, I like
Tariq Woolen.
Wow, Tariq Woolen there. That's interesting. I don't think he's the best fit. I wouldn't want to spend this pick on him either. Whew, this is rough, man. This is a tough decision right here. Bashar, what are you leaning? I don't know my role here if I'm the GM.
Oh no, you're the GM. You're the GM. Okay. Yeah,
I don't want to step on any toes.
No, you're the GM in this.
I really don't like the way that. Let's keep scrolling down on the right there on the best players available. Let's keep going.
Zach Tom, Jamari Sawyer, Dylan Parham.
Just to make sure something's not there. Let's keep going because Marcus Jones. Now I'm leaning best player on my board, and I think I'm going to make that decision. And then people might get mad at me. It's not sexy, but the 49ers, since they've shown up almost every single pick besides Trey Lance, the first pick in the draft, has been on an offensive line or defensive line player.
Exactly.
And nothing's going to change here. With the number 61 pick, the 49ers, this mock draft with my buddy Bashar here, we're going to take center Dylan Parham out of Memphis.
Dylan Parham.
Player on my big board.
There
Hell
you go.
Yeah. If Alex Mack comes back, he can help with guard. He can be a backup. He can redshirt. 49ers like that process. If he leaves, right there, plug and play. He steps in. I freaking love it.
Okay. Hey, I'm all about the trenches, so I have no problem with that pick. I know it's not the sexy pick. I played O-line in high school, and I also started out playing D-line, so I'm all about the line. We got Marcus Jones. We're obviously not going to take Carson Strong.
No.
Keelan Dice from Arizona State, tackle.
Fun player right there. We don't need center now. Ooh, to meet Dominique Robinson out of Miami, Edge player. That's Miami, a big one. Now I see two guys I really, really like. I like D'Angelo Malone as well.
D'Angelo Malone. There you go. Jalen Armour Davis. Danny Gray. Man.
Romeo I like Dobbs. Malone much more than that Dominique Robinson.
Oh, you do like Malone better, though. Okay.
I do.
The 49ers met with Malone too, right?
Yes, they did. He's got freakish speed. Freak. Mm. Can we go to corner? Can we look at corner again?
Yes, sure can.
Nickel corner is a really big one for me. That's something that I really look at heavily. I know some other people are like, nickel doesn't really matter. I love Marcus Jones. Let's see what else we got. Oh, man. The question
Cordell Flott.
Yeah, Cordell Flott. I think he's a fun guy. Man, Cam Taylor Britt's gone.
Kobe Bryant.
So here's my question. I'm going to you. I need some help. You're the president of the operations, Bashar.
All right, here we go.
What do we value more? Do we value another speed edge guy, even though we've got a bunch of them, but it's a more premium position? Or do we want Marcus Jones, who we could plug in and start right now at the slot position?
I'm going
to
say,
what stands out to you?
We do have a lot of fill-in guys now that we got, you know, I forgot the guy's name from the Colts.
Kamoko Turi,
yeah. Now we got him in the mix with Omenihu, saying he's primed for even a better season. you know. So you know, we got a few guys on the outside that can fill in. So I'm not too worried, but you know, I definitely would like a big time guy to help out Bosa, but this Marcus Jones pick looks like more of a need, you know. So,
yeah, and that's how the 49ers draft as well. Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be some options. I do like D'Angelo Malone, but we're picking here in about 12 picks. So okay. We're at 93, then we're 105.
So I took Marcus Jones. So
that's my man. I love it.
All right.
And now hopefully one. Oh, look at that. Dominique Robinson still there on the board. These are the conversations that front offices will have. Who do we think will fall? Right? So let's scroll down that edge. Right now I'm leaving Dominique Robinson. If Malone is still there, then I'm going Malone. Is Malone there?
I think Malone's gone. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
They took him.
Yeah.
Look what they did to my boy. All right. all right. Yep. Let's right here. We're going edge. Dominique Robinson. I've got a third round grade on him. I love it, man. So we've got our edge guy. With that pick. We got our corner, slot corner, and we got our guard/center. Ooh, Kellen Deesh still there. Kellen Deesh is still there. Falling.
He's still there.
How do we feel about Mike McGlinchey and his injury? Mm-hmm. That's a rough one. I really do like Deesh. Let's look at the wide receiver position that's one that, man, I'd love to grab somebody I like. But, Tyquan Thornton's
Kevin
there.
Austin Jr. from Notre Dame.
I like him. I love Tyquan Thornton. Velus Jones met with the 49ers today.
Okay.
There's a lot of wide receivers there. So I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going offensive tackle.
We have Jalen, don't call me Jesse Naylor.
I love it. Okay,
so you're going offensive tackle. Let me go back to offensive tackle.
Okay, let me go back to another great fit.
OT and Kellen Deesh. We're going to do it.
He's the highest player available, best pick available from Pro Football Focus.
Okay.
I like him a lot as well. Where I have him. Ooh, good.
And he fits our zone scheme, would you say? Pretty much?
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of O-line available in this round.
Whoa. Yeah, so we're done. We're not touching O-line. We got interior. We got outside. I want to go back to wide receiver. I see Chandler. I see Chandler. There's some guys there. Man, all our wide receivers went, didn't they? All of them went.
Danny Gray's gone. Reggie Roberson.
We should have traded up.
What's your take on Reggie Roberson?
I haven't watched him too much. I know that he was opposite Danny Gray, and he popped on film. But as far as like a deep dive into him, I haven't gone into.
Yeah.
I feel very discouraged at our wide receiver options. I feel like I have failed us. This might be the last year at GM.
Assuming Debo's still there.
That's a big assumption right
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
Now, if I'm looking at best available running back, Brian Robinson Jr. is my best available running back. However, I would prefer Ty Chandler in our offense. So I'm going to go Ty Chandler out of North Carolina.
We're going with Ty Chandler.
One cut runner. Like him a lot. Man, I feel so bad.
When I was on the mock draft with 49ers cutback, they were really big on Ty Chandler and we took him. So
I like him a lot. Let's look at the safety position.
Oh, yeah. We haven't addressed that.
Man, I feel so bad about wide receiver, man.
I'm the same way.
Leon O'Neal. I don't need to see anything else. 49ers met with him not once, but twice.
Tell me about this guy. I don't know much about him.
If you look at the metrics, you don't really like him a lot. He's a huge instinctual kind of all-around better football player than a safety. Missed tackles are a concern, but he is somebody that has the it, whatever that is. Like, he is a better football player than safety. And I hate Texas A&M. I'm a Longhorn, so we could kind of look at that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to wide receiver. We got to pluck one.
Oh, yeah,
we got
let's go wide receivers. Here.
220 and 221. Let's scroll down. You know, a lot of these guys I haven't really – watched and scouted on. I did 200 players this year on my draft book.
That's a lot.
So, man, let's scroll back up a little ways. Let's look at Reggie Roberson. Let's go SMU. Why not? It might be a little early.
Yeah.
Let's get them, baby. Let's get them.
Yeah, because now we're in the 200s, and when you're in the 200s, you pretty much there's not really much that goes into – it's more of who you like.
All right, we're looking at the big board. Ooh, we got Curtis Brooks there. We got Tyler Davis Price. This is where we're just kind of looking for, man, what's somebody that's going to have the type of metrics?
Noah Ellis all the way down here.
Let's That's go with the Vandals. Man, the last time we drafted a Vandal, was that Mike Uiapati?
Are you just saying that because I bring it up? Because I just see his name on here. I was surprised.
Yeah, go ahead and click on his. Let's look at some of his profile metrics. Yeah. We need defensive tackle guys. We could use
6'4", 346.
He's a plugger.
I heard some DJ Jones comparisons from a friend of mine, but I'm not sure how true it is, but that's what he was telling me
about. I haven't watched his tape, and that's the thing. Once you get down here, I did 200 players, and now we're over here picking. Yeah. I think we're at 221. So exactly. Some of those guys will fall, but again, once you get to this point, you're drafting metrics. You're trying to find somebody that's going to fit. So let's go Noah Ellis.
I'm on Noah. Okay, so we're going to pick Noah Ellis. All right, cool. Awesome, yeah. Let's do this. All right, so we're 221st pick right now, and who's available? Let's check it out.
Boom. Now I think we're down at the end now. This
262. This is Dan.
We might be able to do it. No, I'm not drafting a punter. I'm not drafting a punter.
I was gonna bring you read my mind. I was gonna bring up Matt Ariza.
No.
Oh man, that's too funny. Okay, so who's available? We got Marquise Bell, Florida A&M safety.
Let's look at some of these corner. Let's look at Vincent Gray. Let's click on his Vincent Gray right here. Corner out of Michigan.
Michigan 6'2", 192.
I'm gonna say no. We have been going after small corners. I don't think that's really what they want. Six foot. That's kind of where they want. Let's keep scrolling down. Let's keep going down. Oh, linebacker. Yeah, Nephi Sewell.
Nephi Sewell, you like
that
him?
That is. Yeah, it's Penei Sewell's little bro. Oh,
that's right. That's right.
So, yeah, 6 foot, 226. Yep. Let's go with it, man. Their linebacking core at Utah, that defense was a lot of fun. Special teamer. Let's bring it in here. Let's see it. PFF always grades these rough. Let's see how we did. How are you feeling about it, Bashar?
I'm feeling good, but usually I do go – I'll be honest, in my previous drafts, usually by round three I picked a pretty decent wide receiver with some flash to him. So I didn't really get – we didn't really get that in this draft. So let's see what they did. They gave us
a couple big value picks there. There's no doubt about that.
They gave us a C+ for the Dylan Parham pick. I've had that from time to time. Marcus Jones got an A. Dominic Robinson B.
My biggest thing Chandler. That I dislike about this draft is wide receiver neglect. We thought that we were going to be able to get one, and we went Ty Chandler over a wide receiver, and we lost it. And so that's where it went wrong, and that's why you do these. You do these, exactly. And you're like, man, if we wait that long, it's too long. We waited too long, man. We waited too long.
All right, so we got a B. We got a B. So our probably biggest value pick was probably the they liked what we did with Kellen Dice and Marcus Jones. Those were our biggest value, according to their metrics. So sometimes we think about scheme when we draft these guys, and PFF doesn't take that into account for whatever reason. You know, case in point, your Ty Chandler pick was more of a scheme pick, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to I don't think we have time to do another one, but what we'll probably do is just
– Man, I'll tell you what, though. Like, I've done quite a few of these mock drafts on all the different sites, and the more and more you do it, the more familiar you get with these players, the more familiar you get. Okay, if we do this here, that means that there. And so the 49ers do the same thing. Every NFL team, they sit down and do mock drafts, just like we just did. They do the same thing to try to figure out, okay, what happened if this and that, and figure those things out. So that was fun. I enjoyed it. I don't like my final result, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, that's for the record. That's the second time we did a mock draft on the show. So,
it's been
a lot of fun. Yeah, I love it. I think it's awesome. So if you guys have questions in the chat, we can do that because we're not gonna be on here for too much longer. And I'm sure there's other stuff that we can cover. Let me ask you this because I'm a big Christian Watson fanboy. If you have a different fanboy player of yours, you can go ahead and talk about that. But in general, can you just give us a rundown on Christian Watson? And so, say for example, we were unlucky and we had to trade Debo. Would you be okay with us trading him in round one?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You know, I have Christian Watson rated as my 33rd player. Okay. So I might be just a little bit, I don't know the right word for it. A little bit lower on him than others, but again, I don't think 33 is a bad spot for him. If I look at just his metrics, like again, he reminds me of a better Devontae Parker, but he's again huge height, weight, speed, and it's the one thing that I will say that's interesting for him is there's not a lot of comparables that has the 6'4", 208, 438 speed. There's not a lot of them. You got to go Megatron, but that doesn't really fit the way that he plays. So I love him. 49ers had an official interview with him. I'd love to pair him with Trey Lance. That would be incredible, but I'm telling you right now, there is 0% chance that you can get him at 61. So if that's somebody that you want, you got to trade up. Exactly. Possible, you know, if Debo does go, I don't think he will, but if he does, that'd be a target.
I like that you said D-Bay. I was thinking about the eBay symbol or something. That'd be me. I hope he doesn't put himself on eBay on the market, right?
Oh, man. That's basically what he's doing, right?
Exactly. All right. So today, actually, since my eyes got really big about this whole wide receiver thing, I pulled up names of guys who you'd possibly draft in round one. The first one was Christian Watson, because I'm a big Christian Watson fan, but I love the whole idea of him possibly being paired back up with Trey Lance. They only played one year with each other, but I just think that would be a great combination. They're actually good buddies. So we got names like Garrett Wilson. We got Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, 4.3840. Got Drake London from USC. You got Treylon Burks, bigger, 6'2", 225 guy, runs a 4.5. You got Chris Olave, more of that slender, a quick hitch guy, 6'1", 194.3940. Jahan Dotson with a great burst at 4.4340. James Williams from Alabama with that crazy speed and height.
That's 16. My wide receiver one. Oh, that's Williams.
Okay. So out of all these names, James Williams is the guy who you jump into round one for.
Jameson Williams. But the problem is he tore his ACL. Not going to be ready till probably November this year. But I think he's going to be the best wide receiver in this class. Now, if I'm stepping in to Kyle Shanahan's body and I am judging wide receivers, he's going to love Treylon Burks. You want that physical run through tackles, yards after catch guy. Nobody does it better than Treylon Burks in this class. Now, he's not your prototypical wide receiver, doesn't get a lot of separation, but stop me if you've heard those things before with 49ers wide receivers. You get the ball in his hands, he's a bully, and he just bosses people around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's good that you brought that up, you know, because who would Kyle Shanahan take if those names were at his disposable, you know? Disposal, not disposable. I was going to say, doing these mock drafts a lot, I was going to tell you with the whole, you know, I noticed something like at times, like I'll do like two mock drafts in one day or three mock drafts in one day. And a lot of the same players show availability within certain rounds. It's almost like the mock draft is like repeated for me. It feels like Groundhog Day, doing the same thing over and over again. But I noticed those metrics change sometimes week by week or every 2 weeks. Have you noticed that same as well?
Yeah, they're updating them and they're getting better. That's the thing that's going on out there. As more chatter comes out, whether it's through NFL Network or ESPN or some of these top draft agencies that put work out there, like it starts to kind of solidify. We start not necessarily understanding what players are going to be there at 61, but getting a group of players, about 20 or so, that are kind of worthy of that 61 pick, and you start to kind of solidify that. Like Pro Football Focus, they had like a third round grade on Christian Watson for like 2 months. And so every mock draft you did, Christian Watson was there at 61.
I remember
and I'm
that.
Sorry, it's just not realistic.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to wrap this up pretty soon. I've got one more question for you about the draft. So say we're in round two, say you pretty much have it in, you know, it's pretty much written stone. The 49ers are probably going to go edge. Who would you take at edge with the 61st pick?
Oh, so I'll tell you my edge rankings at that point. I think these three would be ideal. It would be Arnold Ebiketie, which I think could be gone as well. He's kind of the Christian Watson of the edge position. Drake Jackson out of USC, I think it's a real possibility to be there at 61. He's not that speed edge guy that we, you know, kind of want the D Ford model, but he's a complete edge with elite bend and size. He's more of a complete defensive end. I would love to get him. And Boye Mafe. Boye Mafe out of Minnesota. He is that D Ford elite burst, elite first step, quickness, hyper athlete. That would be ideal. I'm not sure any of those make it to 61, but if one of those three do, you'll see me tweeting like a crazy person for the 49ers to take him.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And yeah, Boye Mafe is one of the guys that I saw popped up a lot, and I actually took the time to watch. So I think that'd be really nice if we were lucky enough to get him at that spot. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. Pretty much, do me a favor, plug everything about your upcoming draft party that you're doing in Vegas. You can mention your website. I have the links to his social media in the description box of this video. Feel free to subscribe and check out all his social media. And go ahead, man. It's all yours.
Yeah, you want to party with two 49ers players? I think we have 7 content 49ers creators coming out. Going to be an incredible time. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Days 1 and day 2 of the draft. Now, if you cannot make it to Vegas, we're going to be streaming live. We're going to have Fred Warner on the podcast, on the show. We're going to have Elijah Mitchell on the show. And so if that's what you want to see, you can check out our YouTube channel. Just type in John Chapman or 49ers Rush Podcast. You'll see our channel. Hit subscribe. We'll be live for, I don't know, well over 11 hours draft weekend, all Niners coverage, days one and day two of the draft.
I'm going to definitely be checking that out, man, without a doubt. If I'm not watching that stuff live on my computer, I'll go back and rewinding it and doing all the fun stuff. Shout out to all the content creators who plan on doing big live draft shows. Let me say what's up to Corey really quick. He's been on the show before. Good buddy of mine. I'd like to have you on this Warriors playoff run. He knows a lot about the Warriors and the 49ers, so good dude. Just want to say, hey, I'm extremely thankful to having you on, John. I admire you, your amazing football knowledge, your breakdowns and your videos are second to none. They're really good, you know. You know, a lot of people have told you that, and yeah, I know you're a really modest person. You're a great family man. Thanks, man. You believe, you know, you have excellent faith in God that we all appreciate, and it's just been awesome. I barely know you, but I feel like I've known you for a long time. How about that,
man? Bashar, this is an absolute pleasure, man. I appreciate your positivity and just the role that you play here in this community. It's awesome bringing people together. And man, this is refreshing, man. I get so happy, you know, joining shows and just building the community, which congratulations to you, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
I really appreciate it, man. It's been an honor to know you on here and have you on. With that said, guys, thank you guys, everybody in the chat. We're hyped up for this draft coming up. Thank you guys for watching 49er Minded, where we get into the minds of 49er fans. So keep repping those 49ers and stay 49er minded. Peace.
Want to say thanks for watching and supporting the 49ers Rush podcast channel. If you haven't hit subscribe yet, please do so in the middle of your screen now. And here are a few extra videos if you want to check that out for some more 49ers content. Just want to say thank you. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.